Let's pray. Father God, we love you, Lord. We thank you so much, God, for Huddle. We thank you so much for Terry and his heart for you, and Lord, just what he has shared with us the last 2 weeks and what he's going to share with us today about your glory, God. We want to see your glory, and we want you to speak to our hearts and our minds right now, Lord, that through his message, God, you would just change us and make us into who you have created us to be. Lord, we give everything in this day to you, and we ask your blessing upon it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brad.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon. It all depends on when you started your lunch. If it was, I look really good, though. Whatever it was you guys had, that looked really good. Today, I want to encourage our hearts in, there's three glories of God. The glory of his power, the glory of his presence, and the glory of his person. Now, this is going to be a little bit more, whenever you talk about somebody that means a lot to you, I get emotional. Whenever I'm talking about like if I talk about my wife, I'm going to be a lot more emotional about talking about my wife than I am going to be talking about a general public statement about girls, because she means something to me. And the glory of his power, the glory of his person, and the glory of his presence and the glory of his person. So we want to start in Romans 1:20. And it says there, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." We know who he is, the glory of his power, because we can see it. He's made it visible. You might not have ever heard who the Father was or anything else like that, but there's things in creation that make you understand there's something bigger than us. And it's okay to desire the glory of his power, to be enamored with that. These are not bad things, and they are not hierarchical. They are not one's better than the other. We get in services, we've been involved in Christian different things, and we have seen demonstrated the glory of his power. And that's enamoring. That is that's attractive. Power has a pull to it, right? When we see or when we experience. But from the beginning, the glory of his power has been demonstrated in the things that he has created. From the start, from the beginning. The world there, the creation means the formation or the act of creation from the beginning. The word world, these is what is the Greek word cosmos. But from the very beginning, his glory of his power has been demonstrated. And his glory, his eternal power is ever enduring. The glory of his power is forward and backwards. It's everlasting. It's an adjective, means ever and always, always existing. His power has always been existing. The glory of his presence is in Exodus 33, verses 14. And we'll turn there and read that. And this is Moses in Exodus. "And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." There's something about the glory of his presence that set us at ease, that makes us comfortable. When we experience the glory of his presence, things usually get quiet, right? things usually become easy. There's a tranquility that invades our space. The glory of His power, we see things demonstrated, we think miracles happen, this, that, and the other, whatever, but the glory of His presence. Moses had said in verse 15, he said, then he said to them, if thy presence doesn't go with us, do not lead us up from here. If His presence doesn't go with us, let's just stay right here. Let's don't go anywhere. There's something that's tangible about the presence of God.
Amen.
It does something to us on the inside. And we seek the glory of His presence. We want to be in His presence. We want to be where He's at. And if He goes somewhere, I want to go with Him. I don't want to go somewhere where He's not. That should be an earmark. If my peace gets disturbed, what's going on? If I'm asked to be involved in a situation or something and there's no peace, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't care how much power is there. I don't want to go if His presence is not with me. Presence there, in that word presence, and He said, my presence, and that word there is translated the face. The face can be a substitute for the entire person. Presence is a person or a thing that exists or is present in a place, but it is not seen. You can feel and you can sense His presence, but a lot of times you don't see Him, right? It is great when we do and when we can, but God wants us to understand that His presence, He's going to go with us. He's going to lead us. His presence will lead us. And one of the earmarks of His presence is His peace. Because it says here, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. The main thing that I want to talk about today is the glory of His person. Who is He? A lot of people that I have known in my lifetime they want the things of God. They want His stuff. But they not so much want Him.
That's true.
They want His power, and they want to walk in His presence, but they don't know who He is. Remember the thing that I told you last week about one thing that the Father has showed me that He doesn't do to us? Remember what it was, the thing He doesn't do to us?
Yell.
Yeah.
He doesn't yell. He doesn't yell. There's something else that I'd like to share with you that He has... that I know Him to be this way. Correction is not punishment. All of my life, raise your hand. If correction meant punishment for you, raise your hand. Correction, whenever I was a kid, correction was punishment. When the Father corrects us, He's not punishing us. He's saving us.
Amen. Correcting. Amen.
He's got better for us. Whenever I was arrested 3 times in less than 3 years, I thought I was just unlucky and God was mad at me. Right? He said, Terry, you don't understand my love for you. That was my love that allowed you to be arrested 3 times. What does arrest mean? When you have a cardiac arrest, what does that mean? Your heart stops. He was crossing my path back in the day. He was crossing my path one more time, trying to stop me from the path that I was on. He was trying to correct the course that I was on. Because He knew that road, where it led and where it was going to end up. And now I understand and I know that when He corrects me, He's not punishing me. That's his care and his kindness and his tenderness towards me. He said in chapter 34 of Exodus, verse 6, the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed. That proclaim means to tell. Moses, he was going to proclaim and tell Moses who he was. He was going to tell him about himself. He says in there, he says, I myself will proclaim the name, who I am. I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm going to expose, I'm going to self-disclose. There's three ways that we get to know somebody. The first way is by what we observe, what we see. I can sit across the room and watch you, and I can learn a lot of things about you. Who's on your ball cap? Who's on your shirt?
Amen. Preach it.
I can learn a lot of things by what I observe. I can also learn a lot of things about you by the questions that I ask you and then your response to them. If I ask broad questions, I'm going to get broad answers. But if I ask specific questions and you want to, you can give me specific answers and then I can learn a lot about you by what I see and the questions that I ask. The third way that you learn something about somebody is self-disclosure, what they tell you about themselves. Right? And this is what Yahweh was doing. I myself will proclaim my name. I myself will tell you who I am. And the reasons why we don't know him better is because we think that he's either angry at us or terribly disappointed in us. He's not either. And he tells Moses, this is who I am. I, the Lord, will pass by in front and I proclaim, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity and transgression and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. And just a little disclaimer here, you have to really read the scriptures right, but we think that if my grandpa did something wrong, I'm cursed. That's not it. To those who hate God, amen. He visits the sins of the fathers onto the children and grandchildren to those who hate God. Does anybody in this room hate God? No. All right. Well, he ain't talking to you then. So he says seven things. He gives seven divine characteristics and attributes that I want to share with you. He says, first of all, I'm gracious. I'm going to move this right there. I'm going to set that there, and I'm going to flip this page over. All right. There we go. And that's going up there. That's a little bit of that, what I am. Dyslexic and OCD, OPD, or whatever it is. All right. Number one, gracious. What does gracious mean to you? Gracious means to the Father, when you look that word, I'm gracious. Not my number one characteristic, but the first on the list is gracious. It means to bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior. It means to bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior. When he talks to me, he gets down where I'm at, and he looks me in my eye, and he pulls me over close. He doesn't take the high ground. My dad was only 5'6". He always took the high ground. He always was doing this. I was always doing this. But the Father is gracious in how he interacts and how he comes to each one of us. He bends or stoops to an inferior. It's an adjective meaning gracious, merciful. This word is used solely as a descriptive term of God. The Lord used the exact word when he revealed himself to Moses as the one who is, above all else, merciful and abounding in compassion. It expresses the Lord's response to the cry of the oppressed. His treatment of those that reverence him. His attitude towards those who repent. His mercy in the face of rebellion. His leniency towards his people in the midst of judgment. He's gracious. That's the Father that I serve. That's the person who he is. Number two, compassionate and mercy. The word pictures a deep, kindly sympathy and sorrow felt for another who has been struck with affliction or misfortune, accompanied with a desire to relieve the suffering. He's merciful. I used to think mercy was not getting what I deserved, but it's also that, plus he's willing to do something about it. He sees that you've been afflicted, that you've had misfortune, and he's not only compassionate about that, but he wants to do something about it. When you understand him that way, you'll let him get close. But if you don't understand him that way, you'll keep him at an arm's distance, like, I got this, I'm okay, I don't need you in my business. But when you understand he's wanting to do something about it, not just condemn you for it. When our minds think condemnation, that's not who he is. That's not who he is. Number three, long-suffering and slow to anger. Long-suffering means, this is, you know, not very educated right here, but long-suffering means he suffers long. Having or showing patience in spite of troubles, especially those caused by other people. I'm my own worst enemy. The guy I shave is the guy I have the most problems with. He isn't causing problems. I'm causing problems. But he's slow to anger. Slow moving or operating. He's unhurried. Moderate, steady, easy, relaxed, gentle, comfortable. He starts from a place of love and peace. He's not already agitated and honked off at what you've done for the last week, and now he's already ramped up and going. He suffers long. He starts from a place of peace and love. Number four, loving kindness and covenant keeping. God's kindness and faithfulness serves as the foundation for his actions and his character. God's loving kindness and faithfulness serves as a foundation for his actions and his character. It underlies his goodness. It supports his unchanged position of God and Lord. Because of his loving kindness, he meets the needs of his creation by delivering them from their enemies and despair. He preserves their life, redeems them from sin. God's kindness is abundant, exceedingly great, without end, and good. Amen. There we go. You guys are starting to smell what I'm stepping in. Amen.
That's my God.
That's who he is. That's who he is.
Hallelujah.
He's not that vindictive, punitive person that we used to think that he was. That's not who he is. He's not angry. He's slow to anger. He's not judgmental. It says in John 3:17. What? We know 3:16. What does 3:17 say? I did not come to the world to judge the world. I came to the world to save the world. There's going to be a time for judgment, to be sure.
Amen.
But that's not what he does. He's good, exceedingly great, without end. Number five, truth and trustworthy. Truth means to properly build to properly build and to build up or support, to foster as a parent or a nurse, to render firm or to be firm or faithful, to trust or believe, to be permanent, quiet, moral, to be true or certain. It's a noun meaning truth, faithfulness. It is frequently connected with loving kindness. God is the only God of truth. When the Father talks to me, a lot of times I know it's Him. It's like I'm not sure, but when He gets done talking, there's nothing left to say. Now, we didn't think about that. Oh, yeah, I did. He got that. Oh, He's truth. You know why He has to be true? Because if you are not truthful, you will not be trustworthy. He tells us several times in the epistles not to lie to one another. And it's not like I'm telling a lie or whatever, or to get out of truth, but a lot of times when my friends have asked me how I'm doing, I'd say, I'm fine. I'm not fine. He tells us to be truth talkers. I think it's Ephesians 5:25. Be truth tellers. Because if you're truthful, then you can be trustworthy. He's completely trustworthy because He's completely truthful. He tells me the truth. He doesn't let truth hide or be concealed. He's always uncovering and revealing truth. All change starts with a confrontation with the truth. All change starts with a confrontation with the truth. That's who He is. One time He told me I was a slob. I was like, what? But I had to accept the truth that I'm a slob in order that I could change. I needed to change. He told me the truth. He didn't say you're a slob and you're ugly. He didn't say that. He just said you're a slob. And I didn't take it personal. It wasn't like you're a slob. He said you're a slob. Pick up the pick. I was walking out the door. On the table sat my drink, and in my chair was my bag of chips. He said, pick up your stuff, you're a slob. I was like, well, Jody does that. That's what she does. You're a slob, pick up your stuff. He never yelled at me. He just told me the truth because He wanted change. I needed to change.
Answer Jody's prayers.
Amen. Number 6, He's forgiving. Forgiving means to lift. It's a verb meaning to lift, to carry, to take away, not cover up. I cover it up. Nothing to see here, boys. Just keep on looking, smile and wave. He forgives. He lifts it, He carries away. Where is our chins whenever we are in trouble? Whenever we're in trouble, where is our chins? He's the lifter of our heads. Isn't that what it says in His Word? He's the lifter. He doesn't want shame. He doesn't want condemnation. He doesn't cover up. It can also mean figuratively to lift the head, the face, and the eyes. No shame. He forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. And yes, there are three different things, and we don't have time to go into it today. But He takes care of it all. He's forgiving. That's that Father that we have. That's part of the glory of His person. The last is righteous and just. Righteous means rectitude. It's a female noun meaning righteousness, blameless conduct, and integrity. The noun describes God's justice, His right actions, and right attitudes. Just means lawful rightness. It is often applied to God, who is the ultimate standard used to define justice and righteousness. The times that I have been in front of the judge, did I want a crooked judge? Nope. Did I want an unhappy judge? Nope. Did I want a righteous judge, a just judge? Yes. Did I want a happy judge? Yes. He's altogether lovely and altogether righteous.
Hallelujah.
That's who we serve. That's the glory of his person. That's the person that I want to. It's not that you don't need introduction. That's the person I want to encourage. It's okay for the glory of his power. It's okay to have the glory of his presence. But I want the glory of the person, because if I have him, I got all the rest. Everything that comes with it, all the stuff.
That's true.
The glory of his person. Pursue him. Run after him. Find out about him. Ask him questions. Who are you? Tell me about yourself.
You couldn't handle it.
Well, I'm going to stand there till I fall apart, because I want to hear who he is. I want the glory of his persons. I don't want him. I don't want his stuff and his things. I want him. We were made to be in the glory of his presence, in the glory of his person. We were made for it. By design. Now the things, and we're going to shut it down. Your questions today, if there's three glories of God, what are the three glories of men? And this is the part that we have to wrestle with. We want to glorify ourselves. If we're not careful, don't we?
No.
I know we don't, but sometimes we do. We want the glory. We're seeking the glory of men. The glory for ourselves. Seeking the glory of men. Here's the one that I want. The glory to glorify the Father. I want to glorify the Father.
Amen.
I want to glorify the Father. Don't just tell them about your God and Father. Show them.
Amen.
Show them who he is. Don't just tell them about it. Show them who he is. Any negative in the seven divine attributes and characteristics of who the Father is. Any negatives there? Mean, angry, aloof, austere, hard to approach, unapproachable. Was there any negatives there?
Never.
All good. All good. He's not who we think he is. He's not who our experiences has told us that he is. He's not who we've been taught that he is. He's something much, much better. My encouragement, this is the thing, this is the big climax or whatever at the end. Go find him. Go search after the glory of the person, of who he is. Okay? Write him down.
Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or table discussions, do it all for the glory of God.
Yeah.
All right, let's be transparent and honest and have some good table discussions. And we'll see you guys next week.